It barks and jumps, and you don't have to clean up after it, and you don't have to feed it. Well, you do have to feed it some batteries every now and again, probably. Yeah. Oh, it might be cheaper to get a real dog. I don't know. Well, praise the Lord. Next week, I want you to be thinking of something awesome that God has done for you in 2015. How many had struggles in 2015? How many had God do something awesome for you in 2015? Oh, good. So I want to hear those testimonies next week. So be thinking about what God has done for you in the last year. And you know what? Sometimes our greatest struggles are our greatest testimonies. Isn't that right? And so with all those hands that went up because you struggled in 2015, perhaps there's a great testimony in that as well. And so next week I want to take some time and just allow the church to be the church and just to talk about what God has done in our lives. Anybody think that's important? That we talk about the things that God does in our lives? I think it's important. You guys hear me talk all the time. I like to hear you guys every now and again. What's God done for you? It blesses everyone. You know, and it helps build somebody else's faith when you tell what God has done for you. You know, perhaps you've gone through a trial or a struggle or something very difficult, and then somebody else hears, you know, what God has done and how he brought you all the way through. They might say, oh, you know what, I'm dealing with that same thing. Maybe God will do the same thing for me. Well, yes, he will. Again, singing these songs this morning, I know I went a little long with worship, but I was just enjoying the presence of the Lord, and I don't know, sometimes I just want to take another round, sing the chorus again, or whatever the case may be, but just continue having my heart focused on the Lord and worship. It just blesses me. I hope it blesses you. But as we're singing, you know, again, I read this line, you give and you take away, but my heart will choose to say. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a few moments, whether he gives or whether he takes away, having hearts that will choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then also, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. You know, these two songs, they really kind of fit what I want to talk about this morning. Take me deeper where my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger. Anybody wants a little bit stronger faith? Anybody think they need a little bit stronger faith? Yeah, yeah, lots of faith. Be praying for those Wolf children. A lot of them had their hands up. Be praying for all of us. I think every person here, whether you had your hand up or not, we could all use a greater measure of faith at times in our lives, couldn't we? Especially in the days and the months to come. How many know this next year is going to be full of chaos as far as the political world is concerned? Anybody understand? It already is, right? Well, it's only going to get worse. Trust me, it's only going to get worse. But we don't put our faith in our government, do we? No. The moment we do, we've failed God. We don't put our faith in you know, Democrats or Republicans or conservatives or independents. We don't put our faith in that stuff. Our faith is in Jesus Christ and him alone. Now, I do encourage you to vote. It's important that we do that, that we stand up for what we believe in, whatever that may be. But our faith is in God and in God alone. This morning I want to talk about spiritual health and maturity. Spiritual health and maturity. As I mentioned before, there was a few years ago, and I looked out and I thought, you know, God, we need some more healthy believers. We're all broken. We all got these issues. We got these problems. And we're not healthy enough to really go out and do the things that you've called us to do because we're all dealing with our own problems. And so I would pray, God, help us to become healthy. Help us to be able to trust you. You know, what was that song? It said, where our trust is without borders. Blessed be your name, whether you give or whether you take away. It takes a very mature person to be able to trust the Lord no matter what. I have this conversation quite often where people turn away from God because something terrible happens And they can't explain it. They can't understand. Well, how could God let this happen? And when somebody turns away from God, and I'll show you this scripturally in a few minutes, because of, you know, something that takes place where they have lost their trust for God, it really is a sign of a lack of spiritual maturity, if you think about it. And so I want to talk a little bit about spiritual health and spiritual maturity. How many know that not all healthy people are mature? Right? And so that kind of goes to say that not all healthy believers are mature believers. And the other thing of it is not all mature people are healthy. Think about that for a moment. How many wives out there would rather have a mature, unhealthy husband versus a healthy but immature husband? Which would you rather? That's kind of a tough one, isn't it? Yeah, we want them healthy, but yeah, we want them mature too. It takes both. And you know what? When it comes to the church, when it comes to us as believers in Jesus Christ and followers, you know, of Jesus, I'm pretty sure that God wants us healthy, and I'm pretty sure he wants us mature. Because a healthy, unmature person or immature person can create a lot of havoc and do a lot of damage in God's kingdom. In all honesty, I think I would rather have a mature person than necessarily a healthy person. I have seen people who are dying, people who are not healthy at all. Their physical body is breaking down, but they're very mature. And I'll tell you what, I learn a lot from those people. And I know a lot of people who are very healthy physically, but wow, would you please grow up? Anybody know those people? My wife looks at me and says, oh, you're talking to the mirror today. And so the best case scenario is to be both healthy and mature. And so think about that. And again, this is, I'm always trying to do some sort of self-examination. Where am I in all this? And I'd like to encourage, you know, you all to think about that. What is your spiritual health today? And what is your spiritual maturity today? And we've been on Sunday evenings, by the way, we're not having service tonight, but on Sunday evenings, we've been going through this book called The Externally Focused Church. And there's a lot in here that talks about, you know, being externally focused. But there's a whole chapter written in here. And when we get to it, we haven't got to it yet. So when we do start back up on Sunday nights, I hope you come and catch this particular chapter of this book as we go through it. Because there's a lot of really good stuff in here that talks about this particular chapter, helping people grow. And really, the gist of, or just the beginning to kind of help you understand helping people grow, it talks about physical maturity, physical health, physical maturity. You know, there's two sides of it. There is good diet, and there's exercise, right? In order to be physically healthy, we have to do a little bit of both, right? We have to have a good diet, and we have to get proper exercise. Well, when it comes to spiritual things, of course we know what the good diet is, reading God's Word, spending time in prayer, but the exercise is in serving. You see, people that do are people that are spiritually healthy and spiritually mature if they're doing what God has called them to do. And so this book is all about serving in the neighborhood and whatnot, and we'll talk about that some more later. But to be physically healthy, we need a spiritual, or we need a steady diet of good food and a steady regimen of exercise. And to be spiritually healthy, we need a steady diet of the Word and a steady regimen of service to others. Now I want to show you something in the Bible. Take a quick look at James chapter 1. Verses 21 through 27. Now, I'm not going to read any verses that aren't very familiar around here. Matter of fact, when I was looking up, going through the notes, you know, getting preparing for this particular message, I found most of the verses that I'm going to talk about are things that I've already circled and highlighted and whatnot. And whenever I find something that's circled and highlighted, it means I talk about that before. And so we've already crossed this bridge. But today I want us to have the understanding of the real purpose and intent of what these verses say. Verse 21 in James chapter 1, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Now, isn't that interesting? He says, lay aside all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness. In other words, lay aside the sin in your life. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Receive a good, healthy diet of the word of God, which will help you to be, you'll become healthy when you get that diet of word in there. But it says, but, there's a but there. That's not all there is to it. Now, those who are teachers and those who are good preachers, we like to think that good preaching and good teaching is enough for all believers to get to the place where they need to be and be totally spiritually healthy and mature. But it takes more than that. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Now look, watch this. Verse 24. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So, let's back up here. It says in verse 23, anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing himself in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You see, if all we do is hear the word, if we're a hearer only, we read our Bibles. How many know somebody who reads, they could quote the Bible this way and that way, but they're not serving the Lord? If you ever get in an argument with an atheist, you will find somebody who knows the Bible probably better than you do. But they're not spiritually healthy or mature, right? And what this says is somebody who's a hearer only looks at himself in the mirror, and then when he goes away, he forgets what kind of man he is. And I find that in the world. Somebody comes to church, oh, they're just the most glorious believer, hands lifted up, praising the Lord, whatever it is they're doing, worshiping, you know, putting on the whole thing. But Monday comes along, they forgot who they were yesterday. Oh, they heard it all. They know it all. But they don't do it all. If we really want to be healthy and really want to be mature, we need to hear the word and do the word. You know how you can tell when somebody's really learned something? You can tell when somebody's really learned something when they can teach it to somebody else. If you can't teach what you have learned here in church to somebody else, then you've got some growing to do. You've got some maturing to do. And so my desire is that everybody in the place becomes healthy and becomes mature spiritually, so that when they leave this place on Sunday morning and they get out on the workplace on Monday and on Tuesday and Wednesday, they don't forget who they were on Sunday morning. Why? Because they're doing the word and not just hearing it. Doers will remain faithful. Hearers only will backslide. Think about it for a moment. Think about the people who continually come to the church. They're faithful, continually live lives as best they can without sin. They've thrown off the sins of the world, and they're living their life for Christ. Think about those people, and I'm pretty sure you will find somebody who serves. One of the things with the Celebrate Recovery, the very end of the program, the program builds you up. It helps you find Jesus. It helps you learn who He is. It helps you grow and become healthy in God's word, but at the end, it helps you become a doer of the word. The whole last step is about coming back and serving others. Why? Because if you're doing what it is you know, you won't forget it. There are things that I have forgotten. When I was in ninth grade, I got a 91 on my algebra exam. 91. Regions. Excuse me? I was good. But you know what? The moment I stopped doing algebra, it's gone. I'm sorry. Cruz brings his homework. Like, whatever. I have no idea. Well, now, well, algebra is algebra, but you can only do so much with it. It is what it is. Common Core didn't even know what to do with algebra. But the point is this. If I had continued, I had a math teacher. Oh, she was so mad at me. Oh, she's very mad at me now that I'm a preacher. Wow. She goes, why would you do that? I'm like, I had a math teacher who was furious with me because after ninth grade and I passed that Regents with a 91, I dropped all the math courses. I didn't need any more. I'm done with it. It's like, do you know what you could do with math? She goes, you're going to end up digging a ditch someday. And guess what? I ended up digging ditches. She was right. The only thing she had wrong was I was making more money digging ditches than she was teaching me math. For her, it was all about the money. It's like, you know what? It's good to be able to know how to dig a ditch. Trust me, it's a good thing. We need a lot more people that know how to dig ditches. You know, our world has become, you know, this place where nobody wants to do anything. Nobody wants to get their hands dirty. Do you know why there's a big lack of industry and a big lack? You know, if you own a business and you want to try to find somebody to hire, good luck. Nobody wants to do anything. And I think about the generations. And you know what? I'm blessed to have these two young men here this morning who go out. They're going out and doing something. Because you know what? Most young men your ages, they're doing nothing. And they don't know anything. They have no experience, and they're sitting around on a couch waiting for somebody to give them a job. But guess what? It's not going to happen. We need to be doers. In the world, you need to be a doer. If you want to succeed, be a doer. In the church, if you want to succeed, be a doer. There's nothing worse, is there, than having 27, 30, 35-year-old young person still living at home in mom's basement playing a video game, right? You see it more and more often. Older generation. Who got married younger than, say, 21? 21 or younger. Wow. At 21 today, it would be a scary thing to put a kid in front of the altar and have him marry somebody and say, okay, get a job, get a house, be your own person, do something good for the world. It's a scary thing. Well, think about that. I'm always talking about how natural things kind of reflect what's going on in spiritual things. Think about the church for a moment. We've got a whole lot, the church in general, there's a whole lot of spiritual, immature believers still in the basement, not doing anything. And if you're lucky, you get to move them to the basement. My basement's too full. They're still in the upstairs. We need to be doers. Doers remain faithful. Hearers only backslide. Think about people that you know who have backslid. They're people who came in, they heard the word, right? They became hearers. But if they don't become doers at some point, they fall away. I think there's a parable about that. Growing full size doesn't necessarily make you mature. Just like knowing how to do push-ups and sit-ups Doesn't help at all if you don't do it. Right? I'm preaching to the choir now. My wife and I, our motto is lean in 2016. That's the plan. I'm going to make some changes. Some real changes. Physically. But you know what? I'm really hoping that a lot of people will make some changes spiritually. I would like to be able to get to, I don't want to scare anybody this morning, but in the future, I don't know how far or near, but I would like to be able to say, hey, you know what? I'd like people to be able to point to this church, the New Assembly of God, and say, every single person in that church is doing something for the kingdom of God. Could you imagine that? If every believer who is a hearer was a doer, could you imagine the impact that we could have on the city? And I'm taking it farther than that. Some of the changes I plan on making this year is changing my schedule and things like that so I can spend more time with other spiritual leaders, because it's a church thing. And when I talk about church things, I'm not talking about just our congregation. I'm talking about the church, all believers in Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if all the believers who in this city who believe in Jesus Christ were all doers? Could you imagine the impact we could have not only on Geneva, but on the state of New York? How many know the state of New York could use some spiritual health and spiritual maturity? Yeah. And so knowing how to do the push-ups and the sit-ups doesn't do a thing if you don't do it. Knowing God's word doesn't do a whole lot for you if you're not doing it. And so let's take a quick look at what it is. Just let me throw a quick verse at you. This Paul said this to the Corinthians. Oh, the Corinthianas. I have to talk to my editor. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's the same thing spiritually. Women, the generations, things change. I read a story the other day where this guy got so addicted to video games, his wife divorced him because that's all he did. That is so immature. Young men that are playing those video games, I'm glad you have something to play with, but you got to put that toy down. You got to go do something. You will not succeed if all your mind is consumed with that video game. I'm sorry. When you were a child, that might have been all right. And you know what? I find it's a dangerous thing, parents and grandparents. Don't we? The first thing when the kid starts acting up, here, just play with this for a little while. We put a little something with a screen on it that they can touch. It bleeps and makes noises, and there's lots of colors and lights and characters and all this stuff. And so we're training them up right from the beginning, don't we? I saw another story the other day where a guy was trying to explain to kids, you know what? This is as good as any video game. All it is, it's a video game on pages. Ooh, I hope I'm gonna need that. I want to lose that spot. This type of video game, you can learn something, and if you forget it, you can go back and learn it again, and it'll tell you a story. It'll help change your life. You can be the director. You know, you can watch a movie in a book. You know that? You can be the director. You can, as you go through. Boy, if we could teach our kids to read. You know what we would do into our school system if we teach our kids to read before they get to school? But instead, what we're doing is we'll put this little thing in front of them, this toy, this thing. And we start them out young, and then when they're 25 years old and they're still playing video games and their wife wants them to mow the lawn, it's a problem. We need to become mature. In the physical realm, we need to become mature. In the spiritual realm, I want to share again, and this is kind of I don't know if this is kind of a foundation of what's to come for 2016, but I know I'm going to be talking a lot about serving, because I believe that serving is the exercise that the church needs in order to become spiritually mature. But I want to look again at my clicker. There it is. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This is like one of my favorite portions of Scripture. Because I believe this is talking not just to me, this is talking to every single one of us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Now let me ask you a question. Between the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, which one of them doesn't have to do something? Is there any one of them that doesn't have to do something? No, I think they all are doers. It says he gave them, for verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for what? For the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness in Christ, that we no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Okay, now up to this point, it talked about, in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Okay, hearers, till we all come to the unity of faith. Okay, we all believe what it says. We've heard what it says. We believe what it says. But then in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Do you hear what that's saying? There's pastors. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers, so that we all can come to the knowledge of the Lord. We'll all get the word. We'll all be hearers, but also that we would all be doers. That last verse there, verse 16, from the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working. Now we've got... Karina, are you still wearing that boot? Praise God. One's been delivered. At one point, we had four people in those boots. Matter of fact, we still have three. Amy, Marin, Ben. Oh, we're still up to four. I forgot about Nathan's in a boot. Ah, yeah, yeah. Is he in a cast or a boot? Hopefully he'll graduate to a boot. Ay, ay, ay. I don't know what it is about the boots. Rhonda, left foot or right foot? Oh, good, he's different. The other three are all lefts. But it is hard when all the joints don't work, right? Yeah. It's difficult. If you watch, Meredith uses his cane, you know, Vince... I don't know if he knows it or not, but he's got a little bit of a gimp going on there when he walks. When the whole body isn't doing its part, it's difficult for the whole, all the members, to move forward and to grow, to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. I remember Meredith, and I hope she doesn't get mad at me for sharing this. But Meredith at one point was really worried that because of her foot, she wouldn't be able to do what she feels God has called her to do. But praise God, he changed that, didn't he? And guess what? If we're not running on all cylinders, if we don't have everything working together, every body part working, doing its part, then we may not end up doing the thing that God has called us to do. Every believer needs to be healthy. Every believer needs to be mature in order for the work of the ministry that God has planned for this city to be successful. And that's why I say it's not just about this congregation. I'm planning on changing so that I can talk to some other spiritual leaders and see who's on board in serving this city. I've said this before, and some of you have heard me say it. I would love to see so many people in Geneva get saved that the drug dealers don't have anybody to sell the drugs to, that the prostitutes don't have anybody to hang out with, that maybe some of the bars would shut down, if not all the bars, because nobody wants to drink anymore. Well, guess what? It won't happen if the church doesn't get healthy and doesn't mature. And it's going to take all believers to be doers. I don't want to see a church in Geneva that, oh, it's great on Sunday morning when we're looking in the mirror, but as soon as we walk away, we forget who we are. We forget what it's all about. We don't even know what we look like. And we don't do what God has called us to do. For believers to grow, we need both sides of it. We need teaching, we need preaching, we need personal study. But we also need the exercise part of it, and that's the serving part. You know, the best way, I had this conversation with Troy the other day, I learned more about computers the first time I crashed mine. Because that's when I had to put the things I learned into practice, and I had to learn new stuff. I'll never forget the first time I had Windows, you know, when Windows first came out, I had Windows. I'll never forget the first time I turned that computer on expecting Windows to come up, and all I saw was a C prompt. It's like, some of you don't even know what a C prompt is. It's like, oh my gosh, where did my computer go? But when you do something, you learn stuff. It helps you grow. It helps you grow in wisdom. It helps you grow in knowledge. So when I started installing programs in there, then I started learning about programs. And then when I started learning about programs, I started learning how to tweak programs. And I haven't got nowhere near the advanced stage that Troy is at, but he does it every day. If I did it every day, and that's what my job was, I could do that stuff. But here's the thing, when it comes to our Christian walk, you learn something to do, do it. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, I was anointed to hear my Father talk all day. Well, we know that everything he did because he heard his Father tell him to do it. But if that's all, if he stopped there, if he heard his father say, hey, go do this. How many fathers like when you tell your kid, hey, take the trash out, you come back a few minutes later, trash ain't out. How many, are you happy? Yeah, that's not my job. You can't please your father if you don't do what he asks you to do, right? Well, what did God tell us to do? Jesus said, I was anointed to do stuff. Yeah, he was anointed to come to this earth and to die on the cross for us. But in the meantime, he gave sight to the blind. In the meantime, he raised the dead. In the meantime, he did all these wonderful things because he was a doer. And we are called to be just like him, to be doers. And so, just to finish up this morning, little self-examination time again. Am I spiritually healthy? Do I know God's word? And am I spiritually mature? Am I doing God's word? The two got to go together. And that's the challenge that I believe God is going to bring us in 2016. Every person sitting here today has a ministry. Do you know that? You might think, I don't even know Jesus. Well, guess what? He knows you, and he designed you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. And it's all about advancing his kingdom and not ours. But there's a ministry. Each one of you has a ministry. You know, Pam, she's not here today, but she teaches at a Christian school. That's part of her ministry. She's a doer. You know, anyone who volunteers, and it doesn't matter if you volunteer someplace, whether it's a Christian organization where you volunteer or you just volunteer anywhere. You know what? That is a ministry. Some of your jobs, thank God, that you get actually paid for, it's a ministry. You know, I think about guys like Dave, he installs carpets. You know what? Dave, that's a ministry. Do you know that? You are blessing people by making their houses more beautiful. You're giving them something that's wonderful. You know, people who, Mrs. Stivers there, I know she's got some apartments and things that she rents out. And different. You know what? That's a ministry. You're providing homes for people. You know, if we would realize, I mean, just take a look and what is it that we're doing already? Are we seeing it and treating it as a ministry to serve others with? Your job, whatever it is. You know, whether you're working at Zotto's on the production line or whether you're, in the hospital as a nurse or whatever it is, think about it. Is that part of your ministry? Providing whatever for the world around you? And in the meantime, shining the light of Christ in the workplace. You know, it talked about there, those who didn't know how to bridle their tongue, the religion is vain. You know, when we're in the workplace, do we watch what comes out our mouth? Are we doers of the word? Amen. Stand with me this morning. And so that's the challenge. Take a look in the mirror. And don't forget what you see there when you walk away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the instruction, for the wisdom, for the knowledge we can get by reading it and learning it. But God, I pray for every person here that we don't stop there. I pray that we do it. Because it's in doing it, Lord God, that we become healthy and mature. It's in doing it, Lord God, that others may see your light shine in us. It's in doing it, Lord God, that we can advance your kingdom and grow spiritually. And so, God, I pray over this fellowship and this congregation here this morning and over this city that more and more hearers of the word would become doers of the word, that we would come to the fullness of the knowledge and the fullness of the work that you have called us to do here in this city. Each person standing here is a member of the body. Each person standing here is someone who has a part to play, a function that enables the whole rest of the body to move fluidly, powerfully, and effectively. So God, I pray over this congregation this morning, God, that each one who has heard your word would become a doer of it. Help us to become healthy and mature. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. We're still kind of in holiday mode, so we're going to take this evening off as well. But we'll be back Wednesday for Celebrate Recovery. And make sure you hug these young men who are serving our country before they get out the door and bless them if you can. If anyone would like prayer, by the way, Stell has asked that we be praying for Don. And Don, I believe, is still in Living Center North. If anybody